This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The forecast, a chance for less pain.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The recession is close to bottoming out. That's what the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD as it's known, said today in its outlook on the world's top 30 economies. It also says recovery will be weak unless governments continue to remove financial uncertainty over banks. Federal Reserve policymakers wrap up their latest two-day meeting this afternoon. That means more forecasts from the people with access to information the rest of us can't see. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The Fed has been pumping money into the economy since the beginning of the financial crisis. But as recently as April, the Federal Open Market Committee said inflation should remain subdued because of the global slump. However, since then, the government has had to offer higher interest rates to sell its debt, and talk of inflation has escalated. So some analysts are predicting the Fed will at least stop flooding the system with more money. That could mean rolling back some of the credit easing programs out there, like the ones that use the Fed's printing press to purchase government bonds and mortgage-backed securities. Of course, a rollback could send mortgage rates higher and slow the housing market recovery. In the meantime, the Fed is expected to keep its key bank lending rate at near 0%. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Wall Street, it took all day yesterday to go pretty much nowhere. The S&P 500 gained about 0.25%. NASDAQ shares were basically flat, and the Dow lost about 0.2%. It closed at 83.22 yesterday. Asian markets closed mostly up today. Hong Kong shares added about 2%. European stocks are mixed right now. No doubt 401ks have taken a beating in this economic downturn. Retirement plans have lost an estimated $2 trillion, and that's brought more attention to the buried fees charged by 401k plans. Today, a House committee takes up legislation that would address those fees. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gratch.
The bill would require 401k consultants and administrators to be more open about conflicts of interest and fees. Democratic Congressman George Miller authored the bill.
We've heard from people all over the country that these fees are not transparent, these fees are hidden, these fees are excessive, and that, in fact, you can reduce lifetime savings of people who work for 20 or 30 years by almost 20%.
The bill rolls different fees into a single figure that would be displayed prominently in statements. Jeff Acheson is with Schneider Downs, a wealth management advisory firm. He says over a lifetime, a small fee can add up.
Dramatically, it adds up to tens of thousands of dollars in potential account value that could have been there to the younger or the larger contributor. It could easily be in six figures, the differential.
Opponents of the bill say it would make 401k plans more complex and costly and would reduce workers' access to investment advice. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Today, the chair of the congressional panel overseeing the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, goes before lawmakers. Harvard Law professor Elizabeth Warren will urge Congress to set up a consumer financial protection agency, which would protect people against what she calls tricks and traps set by banks. This morning's New York Times reports Citigroup intends to raise base salaries by as much as 50% to offset smaller annual bonuses. Citi said the changes bring the company's pay plan in line with the Wall Street view that bonuses are a deferred form of salary.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Orville Redenbacher's, Chef Boyardee, and Healthy Choice. More at conagrafoods.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
It could be a summer blockbuster. Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen hits theaters today. The first Transformers movie came out a couple of years ago and raked in, $700 million worldwide. As fans will know, the films feature characters based on cars and trucks, and many of those are GM vehicles. The latest flick comes out as GM is in the midst of bankruptcy. Could be great timing, as Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
General Motors gave the Transformers movie makers almost 70 cars. GM made the decision to work on the sequel long before the wheels came off its own operations. Mark Grazier is a senior writer at Variety. He says the studio's not that bothered about the car maker being in bankruptcy.
Having GM on board, it means, you know, tens of millions of dollars in marketing support that Paramount now doesn't have. But when you have a film like Transformers, the sequel, they don't need that money.
Paramount says plenty of other brands are helping to promote the movie. Grazier says the franchise has legions of fans eager to see what befalls teenager Sam Witwicky this time round. Once again, the Autobots have to protect him and planet Earth from the evil Decepticons.
We've kept much from you, Sam.
This isn't my war.
I fear it soon will be.
But it's the cars that are the real stars in Transformers, especially when they morph into robots. GM's using the film to promote at least one of its cars. The Chevy Camaro stars as a major character. But GM has slashed its marketing budget and won't say how much it's spending on the high-octane ads that are playing in movie theaters. John Wolkonowicz is an auto analyst with IHS Global Insight. He believes GM will emerge quickly from Chapter 11, and he says the film's timing is perfect.
You're going to get a lot of instances where kids who are not old enough to buy a car are going to ask Dad, let's go down to the Chevy dealer and see that new Camaro. And Dad might wind up driving out in a Malibu or a Silverado or something else that's more practical.
GM vehicles get all the good parts in this movie. Well, they're the good guys anyway. Variety's Mark Grazier says that turns the film into one long commercial for the carmaker. He says GM's bankruptcy will be the last thing on the audience's mind.
The movie is so big and it involves characters that are so loved that, you know, having GM play those characters will only make GM look better in the eyes of the consumer. It's a cool factor that you just can't buy.
Even if you could afford it. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Hey, hope you can check us at our website, marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with our online hosted blogger, Scott Jagow, inside the website, marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.